Welcome to the Rad Dad Redemption Podcast. Here's your hosts, Drew and Dex.
All right. Welcome back, Rad Dad fam.
Welcome.
Into the new studio.
Yeah.
We really went all out. We talked about it on the last episode after my big gambling win. We're going all out. And then I did go all out.
We are here.
We're here in the new studio.
It's got that new studio smell.
Smells like
chili.
Yeah, chili farts. It is my basement still. But yeah, no, it's we got a new table.
Yeah, great
big
deal.
Old table. We've got new mics. We got four of them.
Like brand new.
Yeah,
brand new. These are sexy.
So we got four mics so we can have some guests, and we do have some content lined up with guests.
Yeah, we actually are like booking people. Not like, fuck the like. People are coming on our show.
Yes.
And they're also going to be on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming, and they're going to be guests.
We're gonna be coming under the table.
We're like Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Hey, just
I used to listen.
Are we going two for two episodes, opening up with cum shots?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sick.
When I was in broadcast school, like I used to listen to so much Howard Stern because he was just like, well, he even still is huge, but back then he was like the radio guy.
Okay.
And I used to listen to him all the time. And I remember on one episode, he had like the smallest penis contest. And he had all these dudes come in and drop trow in the studio.
Those are the ones you were watching. There was always like naked girls on there and like wild shit. You're like,
I was just listening.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're just listening to small dicks.
Yeah, I was just.
What did they sound like?
I had to close my eyes and imagine these tiny penises in my mind's eye.
As the show runs, you just keep looking at your dick every time one is described.
I was like, wow, it could be worse.
Yeah.
But I do. I haven't listened to Howard Stern in a long time, but I love him.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever listened to like a dedicated episode. I've just had clips on or...
Well, some of the characters that they would have are ridiculous.
I've definitely seen... Who's the short guy? Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of memes coming out of Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Actually, and if anybody like totally serious... So when the September 11th attacks happened...
Oh!
Yeah, super serious. When they happened... all of the FM and AM towers were on the top of the Twin Towers. So when they fell, there was no radio broadcast going out in New York. But because he was satellite radio, his tower that beamed up to the satellite was on a different building. And that was like the only radio that you could listen to in New York.
What a dystopian future. Howard Stern becomes like your primary source for information and
so
news.
He had to like totally change his show that day because he had to... take on this responsibility.
Guys, we
like,
got to postpone the smallest dick competition, yeah, like, at least for a couple minutes. We've got some pretty big news.
But you can listen to that day on YouTube. You can pull up the like Howard Stern 9/11 episode, and it's like it's actually pretty crazy. And he's you can see why he's like a professional in the industry, because like he flips like that, and he like takes on a totally different persona.
You heard it here first. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
We're going to have him on here. We need Howard Stern on the show.
Howard Stern, if you're listening...
Just you and me riding simian machines.
We've got smallest dick V2 ready to go.
Oh, man.
But yeah, and then we got this new like podcast recorder. So no more like laptop, no more USB mics. Like we're legit.
Give us a taste.
I was playing with the sound pad. And so like I was trying to load in fart noises because you can load in four sounds just to play. As we're like going, because we can hear each other talk, we got the headphones. It's very legit. And I was trying to load in fart noises, but I had the wrong file type. And of course, I was trying to do that 2 minutes before you arrived, so no fart noises. But we got the preloaded one, so this one's going to be a hit. We're going to use this one a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that one's
9/11. Oh yeah, it works. Fucking, that is an upgrade.
Yeah. So we can patch in phones.
Yeah, we're going to test that out today.
We're going to test that on today's episode. And then we'll just start prank calling Happy Valley. That's all this show's going to turn into is like, what was that prank call show on like MTV?
Well, I remember, was it Crank Callers?
Crank Callers, yeah.
That was on Comedy Central, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's been it. Same organization.
Yeah. So that this show's just going to devolve into that. We've spent all this money on equipment and like new furniture and stuff. I like hung shit in the basement. And we're actually just going to do prank calls.
It's got a whole vibe in here. Yeah. It is turning into, I love how you, under the guise of a podcast, have just convinced your wife to turn this into a man cave? Yeah. Like that, like
I'm doing serious business downstairs, hon.
You're telling me some of the stuff you're ordering? I'm like, yeah, necessary, 100%.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be an episode in the new studio without going back to our roots.
We are so often on the same page, and that was exactly how I felt coming over. I thought, hey, here's a throwback to when we first started. If it's our day one in the new studio, we should have some refreshments.
Yeah.
We should have a beverage. And so I brought some, but you beat me to it.
Yeah, well, Alicia beat both of us to it.
Well, she did a fantastic job because yeah. I haven't even seen this in Canada for a long time. Maybe I haven't been looking.
She had to go to like a specialty convenience store in Northeast Calgary.
It is a special store.
Yeah.
If they have got this in stock.
So she got you the Mountain Dew Code Red.
I'm just drinking straight up Code Red.
Yeah. And I got the Mountain Dew Voltage. It's a blue raspberry with like extra caffeine in it.
Okay. Well, let's get Baja Blasted here. Oh, yeah. Now, I used to really like Code Red, so this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
I've never had this one.
Oh, it slaps.
That good Code Red. Okay, I'm going to try this.
That's late night Xbox.
This Mountain Dew Voltage here. That's all right.
Yeah. Actually, you know what?
Give me that Code Red.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And what I picked up for you, let's see, I can reach in here. Nothing you haven't seen. Oh, I just wanted to get you going on a Sunday.
Prime Energy, okay.
Yeah. Now that you can have your choice, okay, because that is the Ice Pop Cred, and then I also got the Strawberry Watermelon Cred. Ooh, here.
I love Strawberry Watermelon.
Okay, I'll trade you.
Okay. Between the Mountain Dew Voltage and the Prime Energy drink, this episode is going to finish with me having like a full cardiac arrest.
This episode is going to finish with both of these with one sip out, and then I'll drink the booze that I brought also. Because, you know.
Pretty classic. I often have to pour your drinks like down the sink when you leave.
Yeah, well, you know, You don't do enough for the show. I like leaving you little chores. It's like my little thing. Makes you think about me, you know, even when I'm gone.
I take them back for the 5 cents.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. Well, cheers to your wife, Code Red. The old, what do you call this? The Ding Dong Daddy. You listen to Nick Shoulders?
No.
Fantastic artist. Does like a lot of bluegrass and like yodels. Real like down in the Ozarks country boy. And we went and saw him out in Longview. And every time he plays a song, he has a really long-winded explanation. And this one song called Ding Dong Daddy, which is a awesome fucking song. He told a story about what a Ding Dong Daddy was. And I'm not going to do the whole thing, but like the punchline was him in a cornfield with a folded piece of pizza into a funnel, dumping Code Red down it and drinking it. And that's a Ding Dong Daddy.
Okay.
Yeah. So
my kind of dude.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. Great artist. Great
they
show.
Have to forklift him onto the stage?
No, he's like a skinny guy.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Man, it's crazy how like some people, like Dr. Dew, to go back to him. He's like.
You guys want to know something?
You guys want to know something? He'll house like 3 cans of Mountain Dew that he's like mixed in
with,
some
with
type of
fucking coffee sweetener.
Yeah, in some type of like scientific experiment, and he'll house it, and he'll be like, he always gives it like a way better rating than it probably deserves. He'll be like 7 out of 10, like maybe not it.
Yeah, I've seen a couple. The one in particular where he does the, I think it's the Mountain Dew energy drink, and he mixes it with coffee creamer. It's like his wake up drink. And it looks disgusting. He talks about how he thought of the idea. Then he drinks it. And then he goes, 3.8 out of 10. Not the one. You know, like it's obviously disgusting. But he's drinking Dos Boot. He's drinking. Oh, like he finishes them.
He drinks like 800 calories in one gulp.
Yeah.
And then, but he's like not fat.
And then goes out and performs his country concert.
Yeah.
And he has a Ding Dong Daddy. No, seriously. Yeah. Like a gas station pizza rolled in the funnel and you're drinking it and you're getting like all that cheese juice and that pep juice.
You know how much I love Circle K pizza.
Yeah. No, I think there's an angle there.
It's a revelation.
But that would kill me. Like all the things I already do. Like I eat broccoli and I get fatter. Yeah.
Speaking of,
we should probably, well, we're going to segue. We got, because we're going to have to do some predictions and talk about the combine. But this is on my mind because the last time I came here to do the first studio test, I was a mess a little bit, not like me a mess, but I was just discombobulated. I had the girls, mom's on night shift. And my only job was to bring headphones and the XLR cables. So I showed up with my kids and none of that stuff. And then immediately it was like, can you watch them? I'm going to leave and go and get some of the things, not headphones, still using your Xbox headphones,
yeah,
which are, you know, they're sweet. But my youngest was sick with hand, foot, and mouth. And I honestly thought, because we had asked, you know, because she had had it and it was so bad, but everything was kind of like scabbed over. She was past it. I didn't think she was contagious. Enter your child got hand, foot, and mouth.
Yeah.
That first off, sorry. That's a bad one.
Well, I don't know. Like, see, here's the thing. It's like, reasonably probably did get it from your daughter, but also kids pass that shit. And she goes to her own day home.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was at a birthday party. But on Friday night, she was sharing a bag of Cheetos with your daughter.
100%. And, yeah. and it was definitely my daughter, because not only did I come over here, leave my kids and get them sick, get your kids sick, but actually Uncle Ben, who is a listener, was over visiting with Lindy. And I didn't realize this was a thing. I've heard tell, and I know people who've got it, but he got hand, foot, and mouth.
Really?
So it was definitely Lindy. Like, we are super spreading. We are the problem. We're giving it to everybody. And on that note, Ben didn't get like a cutesy pootsy, like, oh yeah, I think I'm a little sick. He's got the plague.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a leper. He's on lockdown, like, seriously, like, in the basement, can't go upstairs. I don't want to give it to his new kid, and I haven't even talked to him yet. He's going to hear this and be like, oh, you did know. I thought maybe you'd phone. Sorry, Ben. I love you. Did not know you could give it to adults. But he is rinsed. And I saw Megan's mom came by from visiting today. And she's like, check out these photos. And I got like the Discovery Channel expose on what he's dealing with. And it's crazy. It is not something you ever want to fucking get as an adult person.
Yeah, well, so he must have never had any exposure to it as a kid, because what I was reading is like, yeah, you still want to wash your hands as an adult, but you've got like immunity. Most older kids and adults have immunity to it.
Oh yeah, like, I don't brush my teeth, wash my hands after I pee. I'm immune to everything.
And so
I do one ding dong daddy and I'm sterilized.
Yeah, that would do it. but I haven't gotten it, like, knock on wood. Kennedy.
Ooh, the echo. That's a studio echo.
That's a studio echo right there. Kennedy hasn't gotten it.
Okay.
There's a chance, though, she has immunity from when she may have gotten it as a younger age, but she never like had big symptoms or anything. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I just wanted to put it out there. I feel bad. We're definitely going around getting people sick. And apparently you can get really fucking sick off hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Well, it's in the same family as like chicken pox.
Yeah. Well, it's got the same vibe, but it's got a grosser name.
Yeah.
You know, like the doctor, like picking that one out, like there's so many like interesting names for ailments. And this guy, he's just had a long day and they're like, doctor, what are we going to call this one? He's like, ah.
It's on their hands, their feet, and their mouth.
Yeah.
Call it, you know, handy, you know what it always makes me think of is like a hoof and mouth disease that like cows get.
Okay. Same family?
I don't think it's in the same family, because really? People can't get hoof and mouth.
You can get mad cow though. That's fucked up.
Yeah. If you're eating cow brains.
Okay, judgy.
Well, I don't want to spread misinformation.
I have it on good authority that your family members are just housing cow testicles on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's not a brain.
Well, okay. And also, is that what they say when they're just munching down these semen-filled cow sacks? They're like, could be worse. Could be brain matter.
Yeah, it could be.
Pass that jizz sauce.
That's why they. There's all these like rules around feed and stuff, and why I think it was back in the 80s in the UK, they were feeding like animal protein to cows, and they were feeding, because it's prion disease, and they were feeding like ground up cow brains to other cows. They're like, why are our cows getting sick?
Okay, yeah, that'd do it.
And so that's whenever you get like an outbreak, it's like some farmers like fucking ground up some.
There's a lot of listeners right now just putting their spoon down. I guess I'm not going to finish this bowl of cow brains.
And I'm trying to be accurate, because I know my mom's going to be listening and she's going to be like, you better fucking say the right
You better
shit.
Represent.
Yeah.
You're going to get a phone call?
Well, I'm getting a text after this
episode.
Here are
the top five things. 1, 2, 3, and 5.
She's going to be like, you missed this important fact about mad cow disease. Or, this isn't a science podcast, okay?
Would your mom come on the show and talk cows?
Probably.
Do a ranching episode? Rad Dad Ranch? Ram Ranch?
Ram Ranch. We'll just take the PodTrack P4 out for branding.
Oh, alive branding. Dude.
Fry up some testicles.
And
some cow brains.
And I'm getting a brand on my butt. I've always thought, because Shano was talking about that, doing a branding with his cattle, because he had to go and get his granddad's brand. And I learned a bit about that. Here we are ranching. You can't just like make up a fucking brand. It like has to do with...
It's got to be registered.
Yeah, it's registered. And there's certain symbols you can and can't use. So originally I'm like, oh, you got to get like the sickest brand, just make one up. And it's like, no, this is what I'm allowed to use. So if he was ever to host it, I told him, I said, I'm going to drink a million drinks and you're going to brand my butt. Bam Margera, let's get it going.
That's begging for an infection.
You think so? Yeah. Like hand, foot, and mouth?
Maybe worse. Sepsis.
I'm not eating cow brains. I'm just getting a little... I got a big butt too. You know, like I feel like...
I remember going to a party in high school and somebody got branded. They like took a coat hanger and they like bent it into a shape and then they held it over the fire and it was like nasty and pus filled for weeks.
Was that? Oh
yeah.
That's savage.
I know. It was crazy.
We're going to do it well. It's going to be classy. I'm going to have like the...
a classy brand.
Yeah, classy butt brand. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give it a little wipe first. Kind of like when you're getting a needle, you know, clean the area.
Yeah.
How many Mississippi do you think I have to have the brand on my butt for it to take?
Probably not long. Because on a cow, you hold it on there for like, it's like, doesn't seem very long. Like 3 Mississippi, but that's because they got like fur and thick hide.
I'm 50% less hairy than a cow. So it only, I bet you.
Your hide isn't quite as thick
either. It'd be half the time.
Nobody's making you in a pair of boots.
Yeah, so... Ben, I'm sorry you got hand, foot, and mouth. Dex, I'm sorry you got hand, foot, and mouth with your kids. It's a gnarly one. You don't want to get it.
No. It looks like really bad chicken pox, and like Kaylee was scratching behind her knees.
Okay.
She like scratched open.
She had hand, foot, mouth, and knee?
And knee, yeah. Fuck. She had it all the way up her legs. She didn't actually really get it around her mouth. She got like one bump on her mouth.
Yeah.
But she got it really bad all up her legs. She's scratching, and the back of her legs were like totally raw. It looked like she'd just come out of the fire.
That was a thing. So what Marin had it, my oldest daughter had it, and it was like, it was gross, you have hand, foot, mouth. Obviously, I wasn't like, ew, gross, but I was just like, that's a gnarly thing to get. But then I was surprised that she wasn't that sick. So when Lindy got it, because the daycare said, hey, it's an outbreak, it's happening. I was like, yeah, we've done it. We've been there, done that. No, not the same. And now looking at Ben, like he looks like Anakin Skywalker, like right when fucking Obi-Wan gets the high ground. Like he's messed up. Yeah. And I feel bad for that Ben. And
let's get him doing okay. Black mask.
Let's get him some Rad Dad merch.
Darth Ben.
Do you just put in another order?
I did, yeah. Yeah. I put in an order for the full Magnolia fit joggers and sweater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, is that for the combine?
No, I was like, I want to have it in time for the Masters. And then you and I were talking about watching the Masters, but then I realized I'm going to be in Arizona when it's on.
I need you for the Masters, just because like I'm like the wife watching a movie and not paying attention, and then be like, so what's that guy? So who's that guy?
What's he doing?
Is he good?
He's
is he
playing
gonna
golf?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be down in Arizona, but we're going to be in Scottsdale. And DraftKings built a huge, like, betting pavilion at TPC Scottsdale.
Okay.
So I need to try and convince the boys to swing by there for the last round. It's like a huge sports book that they built.
You are lucky. You are infinitely lucky. That was actually, we'll have to at some point. I wanted to test that theory. You just always seem to win things. So when I was picking up the primes and getting some drinkos ready, I just couldn't help myself. I saw this kind of, you know, you go to pay and they're right there, point of sale.
Yeah.
Win up to $500,000 on Plinko.
Wow.
Yeah, I got us some scratchies.
Some scratchies.
So look forward to that. Some high-level content. We're going to scratch some scratching wins. And Dex guarantees
we've got
a win.
Everything in this episode.
Yeah, you got a $10,000 win in you.
Okay, going back to the combine.
All right, let's go.
Because we were talking about drinking calories and stuff.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Open-ended. Good. Training-wise, I'm feeling good. We set our weight goals, and I did tell the team, told all the listeners that I was off on my initial weight.
Yeah.
So I was substantially heavier. So I think by the time we get into the Thunderdome and actually compete, I will be down 20, if not 25.
Okay.
But that does not put me at my original weight.
Yeah.
You know, my target weight. So we'll see how that affects me. And I don't know if there's like, we don't have a ton riding on it right now. So that'll just be one of those things where I'm like, oh, I said I was going to do it and I didn't quite do it, but I've lost a lot of weight. And then the training, like I'm going fucking hard. I think also like our wives are secretly pitting us against each other, like trying to get us to do better and lose more weight.
Yeah. And like, well, my wife was like, if nothing else, I can have like a slightly less disgusting idiot laying next to me every single night.
Yeah. Cause we kind of, my wife told me that you were working out twice a day, 2 days,
which is like, Alicia shared that information and it was like, I did that twice.
You got me fired up though. Cause I was like, oh fuck. And my immediate response was not to train harder. It was to try to goat you into an argument on our Halo group chat, which you did not bite.
No, I wasn't biting.
I basically texted Dex and I forget. You just said I was waiting for an opening and we were just like, hey, let's play tonight. Are we going to get on? And you said, oh, I'm going to bike.
Yeah.
And I asked you, oh, are you training for something? Why? What are you training for? And I had like a bag. Like I was ready to go. Conor McGregor? I don't even fucking know UFC. And you didn't bite at all.
No.
I said you weren't going to win a single event. I said it was going to be like Mike Tyson versus...
I said I would take that bet because I'm fully confident I'm going to win the 40.
Yeah, okay. So what was the question? How do I feel? Initially, and don't take offense to this, I was like, I'm going to win fucking everything. And I really thought that. But then now going out and actually doing the training... and remembering some of our times doing semi-athletic things together, I agree 100%. I don't think I stand a fucking chance at the 40. You know, like someone opens up and they start mowing people down, I'm first because I'm the slowest. Like I can't move quick at all. In fact, I don't even know the last time that my brain would have sent a signal to my body to like move as fast as I could.
Yeah, just like sprint.
Yeah, I don't even have like the synaptic neural pathways in my brain to do that. So I would make that bet. I said that to you. I was like, you know what? I was fucking with you. I was trying to get you going, but I would lose that bet. 40, I think you got it. And I've seen you move fast. I've seen you're like a little.
I think I've got that quick twitch muscle movement memory left over from playing soccer all those years.
Yeah, you got it. And when you pointed out at the birthday party a couple years back when we were playing dodgeball.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were first there each time. You got it in you.
And especially if I have some distance to go, I'm like a freight train. Like I get going.
You're the juggernaut. You can't stop me.
Yeah. You can't stop me. You got it. Like we're going to have gym mats stacked on the other side of the wall when we do this.
I think that's a must do.
Otherwise I'm going into like a brick wall.
Yeah. Injury that. Yeah. So sprinting, going to blow a knee out, going to lose that. We'll have to get crash mats. We're actually going, we had to look around a bit for a venue, but we're going to Strathmore.
Yeah.
We were able to get gym time and weight room time. And my good buddy Daryl is going to be our moderator.
Yeah.
So he's going to come out, run the events, keep the times, keep everything on track. We've also invited some guests to come and do it with us, which I also think is hilarious. When we're breaking down who's going to win what event or what we're thinking, we are both going to lose.
I think we'll lose every event to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're like our control group.
Yeah, the control group. What would people who are actually fit do in this combine? So that'll be a funny way to break it down. What are the other events? Because, yeah, okay, so I'm not thinking I have a hope in God with the 40.
We have the standing vert.
Yeah, also a tricky one.
It is a tricky one because I'm shorter than you.
Yeah. So well, you go up against the wall and you put your wingspan. So it's from your
starting point where you can reach up to.
And yeah. Yeah.
How much higher can you get from there?
So you'll get that, like it's catered to you. But I was always someone, if we were playing sports, you know, volleyball or whatever, like I'm a big, like, give me a huge approach. Like I basically need to be sprinting lots of arm swing to get up and actually be in the air. Like I'm fighting a lot of gravity. If we just break this down in terms of physics,
we have a lot of mass that is being pulled back towards
9.81 meters per second squared. Is that gravity? Right?
I don't know.
I think so. If you don't hear the jingle. So yeah, like I'm just objectively heavier. So, and you said the fast twitch muscle fibers, again, slow. I'm not springing. So that's another tough one. I don't know how that was going to go.
The only reason I think, and that's one that I'm not so confident in, but I think maybe I could do good at, is because, again, when I played soccer, I was a keeper. So I always had to be jumping up to get above the, like on a corner kick.
The goalie!
I had to get up and grab the ball before anybody else could get to it, right? So I can jump decently, but again, we're talking about my keeper days, which like I'm going fully back to like when I was 18.
Who's that? Was that Rene Guida? No, what's his name? Who did the Scorpion? The Scorpion save.
Oh, I don't know.
Is that you?
No. Yeah, throw out a disc. I almost, so like today.
How hard would you fucking hit the ground if you tried to jump and like go horizontal and then return yourself to a vertical position?
I'm face planting.
Yeah.
I'm losing a tooth.
I'm breaking a jaw.
Yeah.
The jaw.
But it's funny, today I feel like I almost had to cancel like the whole event because I was at Flying Squirrel with Kennedy. She was at a birthday party. And there's this area there. Most of the time I was sitting on the side just like watching the girls play. But then they went over and there's this like dunking area and it's like full on NBA height hoops with trampolines. And I was like, I'm gonna dunk.
You are all of us. You are every guy listening right now. Yeah. Who's, because I've never been a Flying Squirrel, but you know, I remember TNT? No, what was Slam Ball on? It was on Spike.
Yeah, Spike, yeah.
It was on fucking Spike. I remember watching that being like,
it's back now.
Oh, so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rad Dad Reviews, we gotta go check out a game. But I remember looking at Flying Squirrel and thinking like, oh, I'm gonna dunk so fucking hard. And I've had this experience in the gym where you like lower the nets to like 7 feet even. And I can still can't even put like a fucking ball in there. I'm still like very uncoordinated. I don't have the skill of dunking. So I imagine what you're talking about where you're like, oh, I'm gonna
dunk. And so like, let me ask you, when's the last time you were on a trampoline?
Oh, man. Yeah. Right?
Because prior to did it, I think like maybe I was 13.
It's not a thing. You
like, it's been almost 20 years.
It's one of those things that goes away.
Like you don't get together with your buddies for a tramp sesh, you know?
This is one of those things that we've all, growing up, used to have a lot of quality trampoline time. Everyone had a buddy with a trampoline.
Yep.
My dude had one in High River, and we would take the trucks off our skateboards and like bounce on them. He had a shed right next to it. Yeah. Yeah. I was always the kid that could do like a front flip and never land it. Like I could get the spin, but then I was just, everyone look out, you know, playing Sizzle the Bacon, fucking Bum Wars. God, trampolines were sick.
Trampolines are sick. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. And I was good at them. Okay. I was good at trampolining. Everyone used to say, look at that guy go. And I don't remember the last time I was on one. And I also don't remember if I've ever been on a trampoline in front of my wife. But my wife likes to do this thing where she'll just make up fake stories about me and create a narrative. And then it, like a few of them have gained traction. And this is one of them. I don't know when it started, why it started, but someplace, trampolines came up. And just without missing a beat, she goes, oh, Drew cannot trampoline. And I'm like, what? Who can't trampoline? How are you bad at trampolining? Before I can even take issue with it, she's like, yeah, you know, like the kid who just pushes the trampoline down and they don't go up. Like they just do like the leg thing, like like a real having a hard time on a trampoline kid. She's like, that's Drew. He can't do it. And it's one of those things where people are going around saying, I can't trampoline. I can fucking trampoline, okay? We should add that to the combine.
I feel like you're also making this story way bigger. You're like, people are going around talking about this.
Everyone does.
I don't think anybody said anything about
it. Man, I come into a room and it's just, it's quiet. You know what? Like you can hear.
This guy can't trampoline.
Yeah. Man, I feel it everywhere I go. Just walk in and it just, conversations stop. And I know in the back of my head, you were all talking about me and whether or not I can trampoline. You motherfuckers.
She did it to get in your head forever.
Oh yeah. There's been a couple. She like, I'm not 6 feet tall. I'm very close to 6 feet tall. I've always wanted to be 6 feet tall. That's the thing. Who does want to be 6 feet tall?
It's a nice height.
It's a nice height. It's a good number. But I'm like 5'11 and change. And it is what it is. I'm just not there. I'm not getting any taller. I'm just getting wider and closer to the ground and probably slower and all these other things. I'm still good at trampolining. But that's another one. She just started, I think we were taking our heights one day at my parents' house. Remember we got the wall with everyone's height on there? She just started going off one day that I I wanted to be 6 feet so bad that I just lie to people about it. Like, that's like my opening when I meet a new person. Like, hey, I'm Drew. I'm really good at trampoline and I'm 6 foot on the nose. You know, so Drew's always lying about his height. He's just not. He's not.
He's not six?
No, I'm not 6 feet.
I can see in your case rounding up to six. For me, that's a big roundup if I was to say six, because I am like the low end of 5'10".
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm right there. I'm right fucking there. We didn't. Okay. We're still talking about flying squirrel and combine events.
I almost exploded my knees today.
So how did the dunks go?
Well, so I got there and I was bouncing a little bit and I was like, man, like I'm not getting like a ton of height off bouncing. I was like,
sir, I'm not sure if your trampoline is working properly.
This mass thing. So I'm like getting up there and I'm hitting kind of the bottom of the rim with the ball. And then I was like, okay, I think I can do this. Like those were practice ones. And like, context, I've like come out cold from like sitting on the side watching kids for the last hour to being like in jeans and a t-shirt, like I'm gonna do a very athletic move right now.
You just assumed.
I was just like, I can fucking do that.
There was never a moment in your mind where you're like, I'm not gonna go dunk this.
Oh yeah, I was like, this is gonna be sick.
Basketball.
I'm gonna be the story of the birthday party.
Dunk it.
And so then there was this platform behind the tramp, and so platform, trampoline, net. And I climbed up to the top of the platform and I jumped onto the trampoline and I'm bouncing and now I'm getting some height. And I'm like, okay, I might be able to do this.
There's the gravity again.
And so then I push off and I'm like, here we go. And I got the ball up to the top of the rim. I didn't dunk it, but I got it to the top of the rim. But I had like used all of my force and all of my focus was trying to dunk this ball, that when gravity started to do its thing and pull me back toward the earth, I was totally unprepared for that. I was so focused. Like my body was, everything was guiding me to dunk this basketball.
Yeah.
And so here I am at the top and my legs are like locked and I'm like starting to like come back down. And I was like, oh no. And then I hit the trampoline and it just like, you know, when you hit
you penciled
and you just stop and it just vibrated through my body. I could feel it in my knees and I was like, oh, I was like, okay, I'm okay. I was like, but that's the last one I'm doing. Cause I felt like an ACL was about to like snap so loudly. Everybody in Flying Squirrel was just going to go dead quiet and just watch me writhe in pain on the ground.
Oh, so just dead quiet. And someone whispers, I told you that guy can't trampoline.
He couldn't dunk. I called it as soon as he walked in the door.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So we're not going to have trampolining in the combine. We should go to Flying Squirrel and check that out. Do they have like an adults night?
I think they do, because I was there and they have like this huge disco ball in the middle with lights all around it. And I was like looking at one of the other parents and I was like, I think they have like disco nights, like adult only nights.
Kids love disco. You know?
Well, I can just see them like turn it into a nightclub, like Flying Squirrel after dark.
Oh, yeah. Just, the liability waiver.
Oh.
You know?
I already had to sign the one today that said, if you try and dunk and blow out your knee.
Everyone else got passed and there's like, sir, can we talk to you?
We've got an extra waiver.
You don't look like a guy who can trampoline.
No.
You're so, way under 6 feet tall.
There was a lot of like parents there. So I would say there's two types of parents. There was like me and all the other parents that were like at the party. We were just there in our normal clothes watching. And then there was another set of parents that came in like full workout gear and were like giving it 110% out on the trampolines.
Yeah. I don't know.
My biggest fear as a
crushing a kid.
As a man of my size, yes, is crushing another child on his birthday.
100%. When I used to teach phys ed, that was something I would do all the times. I would play games with the kids, and there's a bit of strategy there, like an actual teaching strategy. You know, you can model and show the game. That makes it a little easier to explain. You know, you're not only showing them what to do, but it's kind of fun. You can push the pace if you're trying to get kids moving. They think it's hilarious when you're playing, especially if it's like dodgeball or something.
Everybody wants to hit.
Oh, teacher. Yeah. I'm a big target. It's hilarious for them. And I used to play games all the time, but I had a couple incidents where like it was a danger, probably for me trying to like get out of some kids' way, or definitely the kids being like, I weigh 170 pounds more than you. Yeah. Like, I don't want to phone your parent and be like, I just got, we lowered the rims. I'm really good at dunking. I'm also good at trampolines. And little Timmy just didn't get out of the way. Yeah. So I would not be in the mix.
I folded your son's clothes and he was still in them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my God. Man. Yeah. I could go off on that. I agree with you. I'm not showing up geared out to do it, but if there was an adult's night and I could like see the list of people who were coming before I knew
get
I was
going to slam ball going.
Oh yeah. Full contact. Slam ball fucking rules.
I think after the combine, when injury risk is much, there's much lower stakes. We won't have to cancel a whole episode because we've injured ourselves at Flying Squirrel. I think that's when we...
Or we'll have a whole episode because one of us got like really hurt.
I'm going to be so butthurt if I blow my ACL like right before golf season.
No, we're doing it safe. Like I am training. That was, you know, that was where this whole thing started. Because then we also have the T drill, which is like agility, I think.
Yeah, it's basically like... some people call it like the shuttle run and stuff. Yeah.
And then we're doing the beep test.
Yeah. Which is kind of your endurance event.
Yes. And I think that one's going to be funny. And that was low stakes, man. You just, if you go to the point where you can't do it, you literally can't because you can't get to the line before the beep. It's just over.
Yeah.
So we'll just set these horribly low scores. Our other participants will continue running.
We'll watch.
We'll go catch a high guard sub in the parking lot, get ready for the next event. So I don't know, beep test. I have access to a gym and I intend to run it a few times to get used to it. So that we went through a couple, like, I don't think I'm going to win the jump. I don't know if I'm going to even compete in the 40, but then there's the broad jump. And there's another interesting one. There's one like, when's the last time you tried to just jump really far?
Well, and we both agreed that I think it was track and field day in junior high.
Yeah, yeah. This is when most of these things happen. Sprinting, for sure. It was grade eight. And I think I remember my 100-meter dash time was 17 seconds.
Okay, because I know I made it to the finals.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't remember, but it was like it was a pretty good time. But both Brad and I, we ran side by side. And we won our heat,
yeah.
But we were in like the remedial sprint heat. So like, even though we won our heat,
you
we
had
were
to
like,
go against all the other well, kids but who
we,
won their heat.
We were like, oh, there's no way we qualified against all the other kids that just ran in like the 10 heats before. And so we went, and you know how they would always pull up like one of the teachers would be barbecuing and just making like hot dogs and hamburgers.
Oh yeah.
Brad and I were like, that was our last event of the day. Got it out of the way. Let's go crush a couple
Let's
hamburgers.
Let's go get some glizzies.
And so we were each eating hamburgers, and then they were like, Dex Dunford and Brad Robertson to the 100-meter finals. And we go down there. We literally were licking off our fingers as we're like walking up.
you ended a couple ding-dong daddies.
Oh, yeah. We're like, we didn't think we were going to make it. And they're like, no, you guys qualified. You were the last two qualifiers. So then and then our times were like 4 seconds worse because we had just eaten a full size meal seconds before running.
Yeah, I remember Zilla was in like the 200-meter final.
He's a quick guy.
You'd have the dash down.
Yeah.
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 Broad jump, we'll see. I'm running out of events to win. The only one I feel really confident in is the bench press.
Yeah, and I think I would give you the bench press right now.
I think I'm probably going to even be competitive with our two guests, our two fit guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, as my brother said, mass pushes mass, right? So like we've already,
you got to be big to lift big. That is a rule.
Which I was like, I don't know how much, like there's probably something to that, but I don't know if it's straight like bench press. Like, I think you need some mass there because you need muscle mass, but I think you just can't pick a fat guy who's going to suddenly like start benching 230. Right. And so I can see like mass pushes mass if like we're trying to roll a boulder and you could put
like the strong man.
Yeah. Like something like that. Right. If you're trying to like move something laterally, then yeah, if you can put a couple hundred pounds behind it versus a guy who can only put 150 pounds behind it, you've got an advantage. But like straight up and down, I don't know if that holds true. And I'm trying to talk like I know what I'm talking about, but
there, yeah. While you're talking there, I was like, the angle should have been like Highland Games. Like, we should have got our kilts going, done just, the caber toss.
Just the log flip and shit.
Yeah, hell yeah. Maybe that's the next combine. But you were talking about the dash and having fast twitch muscle fibers. You know, like our mutual friend, Sean, who has never been a big guy. He's definitely never been a big fat guy.
No.
Like, he's never had more than 5% body fat. But I've always weighed 100 pounds more than him. He'll beat me in every single lift. You know, there's a lot to do with the organization of your muscles.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not a guarantee. And there's some geometry there too, right? You know, if you have a larger wingspan and you're, say, the distance from the top of the bar at rest to your chest is 19 inches, that's going to require so much work in terms of joules to move that. And if you get someone with a shorter wingspan, better geometry, they're lifting that same bar over a distance of 16 inches. It's less work, less energy required to actually move it. So there's tons of stuff going on. So I'm finna be surprised in pretty much every single category out there.
Yeah, I'm ready to really be embarrassed.
No, fuck. I'm excited. I'm excited to get it done. It's a milestone. Yeah. And then...
you know what's bullshit?
What?
I still haven't lost a single pound. I have gained...
Oh, I didn't even ask. You asked me all night. So yeah, let's flip it to you.
I've gained 4 pounds. And like... and here's the thing is
you're
like...
You're looking good.
I've been lifting and I feel like I do look better. And I've definitely... I've lost inches on my waist. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, the belt is a little tight. Like I can go to the smaller size. My watch... I didn't realize my arms were that fat.
You had wrist fat?
Yeah, I didn't realize I had like wrist fat. And so like...
just on your left though, your right was just fucking...
Oh, my right's been jacked since I was 14. But yeah, so like my watch, I went like one size smaller on my watch band to like this previously unused like hole in my watch band. And I was like, that's crazy. I never really thought it, but I've still gained weight.
Interesting.
And I know people would be like, well, like Dan tried to do this to me the other night. He's like, well, you know, like muscle's denser than fat. And I was like, I know, but I do have a lot of fat. And like some of that should be like coming off. Maybe it's like at some point there should be weight loss.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. You were wearing a Celtics jersey the other day. And I was like, oh, fucking Dex.
Oh, yeah, I wore that. And you were like, oh, is that a medium? And I laughed and I looked down. It was a medium.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, crazy. Yeah.
So I don't know. Weight is a very poor metric. For whether or not you're actually succeeding, especially in training, right? You know, like I think a lot of people kind of live and die by the scale,
which is something interesting. Like, I guess you know, we'll blow one of our first guests or our second guest, maybe we'll see. We'll see how the order works out. But we're gonna have Kelsey from F45 and Good Life,
yeah,
on our show.
We're gonna save these fucking questions.
We need to save some of this for that, but. Yeah. I think that would be a thing as somebody who like is a trainer, like leads these group classes. If she were to sit down with somebody who was starting to work out, she would probably tell them like, don't look at that scale. Don't look at it every day because it's going to throw you off and it could probably be defeatist. But yeah, we'll talk about that more, but
yeah, let's pin in that. Like we got good questions.
Worst metric.
We got good questions. It's good. Like I'd say in terms of overall actual fitness, yeah, terrible metric, but it is the thing everyone looks at. Like you can't help yourself.
Well, and you know what? There's like, you know, if your BMI, like if you have a BMI of a certain number, like you are more prone to certain health conditions and stuff, right? Like,
oh fuck. So I downloaded a running app. So I don't know if I told you this.
I don't think you have. No.
I needed something. Like I was like motivated and I got more motivated when I like got the feeling that you're actually doing well. Like I said, I was overly confident. I was like, I'm going to fucking annihilate Dex. Love you. And then I was like, wait, maybe I'm both underestimating my friend, which is not fair to him. And I'm definitely overestimating myself. Like I have been sedentary for some time now.
It's like, just, we start feeling better. We're like, we can dunk at flying squirrel. Yeah. No problem. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fuck. So to show and prove, I was like, I actually think maybe I'm more out of this than I originally thought. And so I needed some extrinsic motivation. So I signed up with Auntie Becky to do the Calgary half.
Okay.
And so that's like more, for me, that's like, I actually have to go out in front of people and perform. You know, if we go to Strathmore and I shit the bed, we're going to have a hilarious episode.
Yeah.
We're going to have guests on afterwards. We're going to break down how we did. It's going to be hilarious regardless. It might even be funnier if I do poor. But if I actually have to go out and run 20K in front of people, like that's, I don't want to be out there embarrassing myself. I want to be able to do it. So I've been running and I got this, the Nike Run Club app.
Okay.
So I can like, you know, I got a program. I'm trying to run this many K each week and track everything. Like I'm doing it really seriously. A lot of context there. When you enter it, you have to like put your height and weight and your goals and it spits out your profile. And when it spit out my profile, it literally, like, it came up with an alert. Like, not like a, hey, here's your profile. It came up with, like, a little red exclamation point. And it's like, based on what you just told us, you're fucking gonna die. My BMI is morbidly obese.
Okay, because it's funny you say this. I went to the doctor in the summer, and he's like, we haven't, like, updated your stats in a while. And I was like, what do you mean, like? Like, I think about it as an RPG. I was like, well, you know.
I'm good at trampoline. I have, like, so many XP on trampoline
and
skills.
So he's like, let's get you on the scale. And I was like, can we not? And so he got me on the scale. And, yeah, he sat me down. He's like, you're technically obese. And I was like, oh, thanks, doc.
Technically. What does technically mean?
I think when people say obese, you think of, like, huge people. Like, you think of, like, my 600-pound life or something.
Yep.
Where, like, they can't even, like, leave their front door because they don't fit through it. That's what you think when you think of obese. But it's, like, actually, it doesn't take a lot to be, like, medically obese.
I'm trying to find a BMI calculator here. And I'm going to lie to it. I'm immediately going to say that I'm 6 feet to make it a little bit better.
Just squeeze that extra
height,
inch.
6 feet. There you go, Meg. Hard 6 feet. Okay. I'm hovering around 240, 245. Okay, so it's telling me that my BMI is 33.2, indicating your weight is in the obesity category. So yeah, and then you go down to the actual the scale, and it tells you below 18.5, you gotta, like, get it up a bit. You're underweight. If you're in between 18.5 and 24.9. You are in the healthy weight category. And I don't know what these fucking numbers mean. This is the body mass index, and this is how you're scoring. So these are BMI numbers. Between 25 and 29.9, you are overweight.
And what were you?
So anything 30 and over is like you're in rough shape.
But what was your number?
33.
Okay, I'm 34.
Oh, fuck.
Because I'm 2 inches shorter than you.
Well,
but we're basically the same weight.
If I put it in 5'11", like, that was my lie height too. Yeah, so we are at risk.
We are at risk of pre-diabetes.
Yeah, man, we're getting it all. We're getting hand, foot, and mouth. I'm gonna lose our ability.
I'm gonna lose a hand, foot, and a mouth.
Yeah, honestly,
to my diabetes.
No, okay. So in the combine, we will have successfully exercised and been mindful about. Even though I'm not eating as well as I could, I'm definitely eating better.
Me too.
Yeah.
I would say, like, definitely way less fast food.
Yeah.
Even, like, yesterday, the girls were like, we want McDonald's. And, like, Dex, like, pre-January 2nd when we did that episode would have been like, hell yeah, we're going. And I was like, nope, I'm having chicken and rice.
Exactly. So you're mindful of your choices. You've got an event coming up, excuse me, that you're training for. And so, like, we're getting better at life. That's what's happening here. This was a good idea.
And if we keep it going. Even afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is always the hard part. I remember I got in such good shape for my wedding. I was down to 185.
Ooh.
For my wedding.
Nice.
Like, I still have my shirt that I wore to my wedding. Absolutely no way I can, like, possibly button that up right now.
Man, you lost it and I found it. You had to order me new pants. Oh, man. Yeah. That was a big boy club. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was in good shape for my wedding. But then as soon as I got married, I was like, well, she's locked down. I better turn into a stereotypical,
God, yeah,
like, fat idiot husband.
When we talked about that, you're saying, like, that's why. So the run for Auntie Becky's, it's like a Stars ambulance fundraiser. It's a month after the combine. And so
you do have to keep it going.
Yes, that's ideal. But, like, the minute that's done, we're heading into June. And we did talk about this last time. If I've gained, you know, some health, if I've lost some weight and I'm in a better spot heading into summer, that's just going to be XL green light to just, like, have the summer of my dreams.
Just abuse your body.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just golfing, just drinking, just housing glizzies.
Here's the thing, golf for me, I always lose. It didn't happen so much last year because I feel like I carded more than I normally do. But when I play golf,
you had a bad influence.
Yeah. But when I play golf, I usually walk. And when you walk around of golf, you can do, like, anywhere from 14 to 20,000 steps, depending on how big the course is and stuff.
Yeah.
You burn a lot of calories golfing if you're walking. And if you're not eating, yeah, two glizzies at the turn with 8 beer, then I always lose a ton of weight during golf season. doing like nothing other than just walking.
So that's what you should have been doing. You should have been just golfing this whole time.
I wish I could. I needed to win a little more money so I could have bought my like Scottsdale home.
Dude, that scratch ticket sitting in front of you, that's yeah, going to be the absolute. We're going. I'm not even going home tonight if we win. We're out of here.
We're taking it to Deerfoot to double it.
Oh, man. We're going to go immediately and find another amateur wrestling event to attend.
Okay. It's funny because it was just in the back of my mind. I was like, we got to segue to like this amateur wrestling night.
That's what I'm asking. This whole thing has been a lie. I am trying to get into amateur wrestling and I need the body type.
Well, Sean was telling us. Well, we should probably give the listeners
slow it down. Yeah. What happened? What did we do? Rad Dad Reviews.
We attended, thanks to our buddy Sean. He got us tickets to the Can-Am wrestling event in Okotoks, which
don't
is like... Don't poke the bear. If you live in Okotoks, you probably saw the posters posted at every grocery store and local business.
It was a huge event. Tens of people came.
There was literally dozens of us. He got tickets. We went there to see, like... Are they technically professional wrestlers?
No, they're amateur wrestlers, and you didn't know what you're getting into.
I've never been to one.
Been to these before. I knew, and you were kind of like, yeah, I'll go. And I was like, you don't know. You don't know what you're about to walk into.
Because I don't like wrestling.
But?
It was insane. and I'm not even saying, it was insane. Like, first of all, it's impressive some of the, things that they did, even though, obviously, yes, it's all staged and whatever. But some of the moves that they're doing on each other, I'm like, this takes like a pretty high level, like physical ability to be able to do this without breaking somebody's neck.
And some of those dudes are big boys.
But the best part, I'm going to get really close to the mic right now. Best part was the fucking storylines that they came up with. And going into this, I just kept thinking about the South Park episode of where they start their own wrestling federation,
which I still have not watched. This came up the other night.
And they kept putting in they make all these storylines, and in South Park it gets more and more ridiculous and it becomes more Greek theater and stuff like that. But with ridiculous hillbilly storylines. And so that's what I was expecting. And we fully got that. It was so stereotypical, just the most insane amateur wrestling storylines that they came up with.
It's not even stereotypical. It is truly something. If you've never had the experience to go to these things, and I want to say that I love them and these are my people. I feel at home when I walk in. It's not like, it's not people watching for me. It's kind of like no one is talking about my trampolining when I walk in there. Everyone's just worried about, what mask they're going to buy, what autograph they're going to get, how many hot dogs can they afford? And it is a certain kind that comes out to these events. And the other thing that's really wild, it's a phenomena, is just the whole Me Too movement, the whole workplace harassment, the whole basically society. Actually, I'm trying to describe a phenomena here.
Just proper society.
Yeah, society has advanced to a point where we don't do the same things we used to. Like amateur wrestling never got that fucking memo.
No, I left that night, and I think one of the first things I said is anybody that thinks that woke culture has taken over, if anybody says that, I'm like, no, you just go to an amateur wrestling night and you'll realize you're transported back to 1991.
Oh, yeah.
Say whatever you want. It was insane.
Crazy. There's I don't even know where to start.
Well, I will say, it was the second match, I think. And they were like, here comes Mayhem, Martin or whatever. And it was
the all night guy?
No, no, no. I haven't even gotten to that point.
Oh, okay. Mayhem Martin.
He was, and they were like, he's on a day pass from the Panoka Institution, and he came out and he had a stuffed animal and he was acting crazy, and he was a cannibal, and he was biting people and stuff. And so I was like, they are really setting back all progress we've made about mental health.
Yeah.
They're just here's this fucking psychopath.
Oh, yeah. And it's gutless, too. You know, there's no trigger warning. They're just he's crazy. He's in the asylum and he's going to bite you.
Yeah, and he was he was just acting so crazy. Biting people. And they kept referencing the Panoka Institution, which obviously for people who aren't familiar is, the large mental asylum here in Alberta.
Isn't that funny? This is what we're talking about. We are struggling to appropriately use like, can you even say mental asylum?
No,
like,
as I said that, I'm like, I don't think that's the proper term.
Yeah, someone's going to write you. You can't fucking say that. You can't say mental asylum. And we're probably wrong. But, like, they're like, he's fucking crazy.
He'll bite your face off.
and this guy
and half the crowd is kids under the age of like 12.
And he's not a crazy person. So he's just like playing the character. He's kayfabe. He's coming out and he's just like, ooga, ooga, booga. He's just fucking going nuts.
And so when that came out, I'm like, I'm laughing so hard. Cause I was like, I can't believe like what I'm witnessing here.
Oh.
And by the end of the night, that's almost not even like a memorable point.
I didn't even remember it. When you brought it up, was like, what are you talking about?
That was not even the craziest thing. I think we really have to unpack what was the craziest part. And it was actually two parts of the show.
So, okay, the announcer comes up and before this fight, he's doing a promo for another fight. He's kind of like, and that's what they do with these things, is they want you to keep coming. They want you to be repeat customers. They're putting on a show and, you know, good on them. It's their product. But he's saying, he's like, you know, we got some new wrestlers that are going to be in the ring tonight. And they're actually both slated for this next event coming up in, who knows, Olds Mania. Who fucking knows where it was. And he's talking about the Jorge Cuervo match. And how he's gonna get a bunch of ladies in the ring. And every time the bell goes after 3 minutes, they all have to take a shot. But the implication is that they're all whores.
Yeah. Like he was emphasizing. At first I thought I didn't
hear
him.
Did he misspeak?
Like I was like, did he not say that properly? Because he's like Jorge Cuervo. And I was like, oh, he just said Jose wrong. But he kept like leaning hard into that. That whore sound, Jorge Cuervo, a bunch of whores.
And we were sitting next to like these 9-year-old kids, and he's talking about these, like, they're going to be drunk in the ring on their Jorge Cuervo. And these kids are like, yeah, freaking out.
My favorite, at one point, one of those kids, just since you mentioned it, was like, they're doing like some move where the guy was like bending his fingers, and the kid was like, break his fingers.
Oh, yeah. Like I said,
this kid's a psychopath.
They love wrestling. But so, that's how it starts, is the announcer is he's really beefing up this Jorge Cuervo event. And then he digresses and says, but I'd like you to put your hands together. We have an intergender match.
Yeah.
And again, even right now in this podcast, we're like, oh, we don't really touch that stuff. We're not about to sit here and discuss gender politics. It's not our role. And we certainly have nothing of value to say about it. And we'll just leave it at that. But this is like a live event, and this fucking guy is standing up there, and he's like, it's an intergender event. And we're like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's kind of progressive. Like, what's he talking about? It's just a guy fighting a woman. And the guy comes out, and his, like, first move, right? His first move is to go and just, like, erotically grind on Scotty the ref as he's dancing to, what I can't remember what song that fucking is, Boogie Woogie Fever, who like, fucking
yeah,
knows?
Yeah, some disco song, yeah. He's wearing super tight pants that said All Night on the back.
Yeah, sexy. Check our socials. We posted a little bit about it, Scotty.
Yeah.
And his opponent, this woman, this First Nations woman,
yeah,
comes out, and she is the matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
She comes out to like a traditional drum beat chant, yeah.
And again, you're like, okay, intergender fight. Oh, and we've got like some First Nations representation, like, you know, no land acknowledgement, nothing like that.
there was no land acknowledgement.
You know, it starts pretty quickly being like, this isn't a progressive thing. This kind of maybe in my head, I was like, oh, maybe they're going to be like really respectful and cool and like make this like, wow, we have like an empowered female wrestler who's proud of her indigenous heritage. And we're going to bring that to you in the form of this amateur wrestling event. And new. Like all bets were fucking off. The matriarch comes out and it like immediately takes on an air of like a little bit racist, yeah. Kind of vibes.
It's like and I felt weird watching it because I was like, she's obviously First Nations.
Yeah.
And so I was like, is this like when like black people are allowed to say the N-word, but other people can't? Like, is this like in that same realm? But I was like, eh. Like she had the full like war paint on around her eyes. She had like the traditional garb.
Oh yeah.
The thing that really got me, and like I was like in shock, but I was also like I couldn't stop laughing because it was so unbelievable at what I was watching, was she was doing like pick the most stereotypical like First Nations war cry. Like pick your favorite 1950s cowboy movie where they just like, oh, we got some savages over here. Yeah. Like, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, she was really, really propagating was, that. Yeah.
But then a bunch of people in the crowd were doing it too. And I was like, she's like
a
one
bunch
of two
fucking
indigenous
white
people.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, and yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is like not okay. But I was like uncomfortable, but like really entertained at the same time. Like no shame in saying that.
You're like, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to like be here because like, you know, she's doing it. It's for the show, kind of like that. But you're hesitant. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck is even going on?
But that wasn't even, and it does get thrown back to that. There's definitely a moment, and I think we're going to talk about it. But then I want to dive into the match.
Yeah.
Because they start wrestling.
Well, the preamble is like, he's like, we don't have to wrestle if you go out on a date with me.
Yes.
So it starts with like this little like proposition. And she's like, I'll never go on a date with you. And he's like, his name is All Night. He's like, we'll be up all night. And she's like, you couldn't go all night with me. So like they're having this very like sexual conversation. Yep. And there's like a ton of kids in the crowd
who are losing it.
They're like, yeah, he couldn't go all night with you, matriarch.
Oh, man.
So that's how like the match hasn't even started. This is the preamble. They're shit talking. And then the match starts.
And every move. Is innuendo. It's fuck innuendo. It's harassment.
It's full on sexual harassment. Like he would grab her and like slam her down with like his face in her crotch.
Yeah.
And then would be like shaking his head.
Oh yeah. Motorboat.
Yeah.
And the crowd's losing it. There was one where he had thrown her against the turnbuckle and she kind of did like the little bit of feint, like stuck in the corner, like, oh, get out of the way. Like before he does his move, and he runs diagonal across the ring. And I just hit my mic because I'm like, if you're in the studio right now, I'm talking with my hands because I'm like, this was nuts. He runs across the ring and jumps and does like a flying splits move.
Yeah.
And lands on her face with his knee on either side around the ropes and starts like
grinding his dick in her face,
like humping her face. That's his move. The old face hump.
Yeah.
Give him the old face hump. And in the crowd. In actually the VIP section was the entire HTA Knights, like basketball football teams.
Local high school football and basketball team wind-up party.
And like, I don't work for that division. I'll out those guys. Those coaches and parents and like teachers who organized that event, who were like chaperoning that event, when this shit was going on, they were like, oh.
Ghost white.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. We thought we were taking the kids out for a little family fun wrestling match, and we're watching like an absolute...
We're watching the sexual assault of an indigenous woman by a white man.
Yeah, and an intergender wrestling match with people just going fucking mental.
So I kept thinking that, and then I kept going back to, well, this is all heavily rehearsed. Like, they wrote this, they rehearsed all these moves. Like, she is in on this. She's like, she is a willing participant. She has provided consent. Right. So I'm like, well, like, can you even be like that? Like, can you clutch your pearls that strongly about it when she has agreed? Like, she obviously rehearsed this. They probably worked on this for weeks, communicated quite a bit. They're like colleagues in that sense. Right. And so I'm like, this isn't a surprise to her. She knew all of this was coming.
And there is a precedent there. And that's what we were talking about, how you walk into this wrestling space and you're walking back in time. Cause like, you know, there was the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lengthy history of people doing like racially insensitive and inappropriate things under the guise of wrestling personas.
Yeah.
You know, that's well established, but we've moved away from that because it's bad. It's not good. You don't want to propagate those narratives. They're harmful. And this is like, no, we're doing it. It sells tickies. And it was so like, I don't want to sit here now and be like, oh, I could hardly stand to watch, because I was watching and I was like, this is fucking crazy.
I was crying laughing.
Yeah.
I was crying laughing. Like, I don't want to, yeah, I'm not going to be like holier than thou and be like, well, I sat in the back with my arms crossed. Like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
I was like, because again, I'm acutely aware that they have planned this out. Like, they sat down and were like, this will be hilarious.
Well, there was finally a moment in the match where she got the upper hand. The matriarch gets the upper hand. And I'm like, okay, that's the angle here, is like they've purposely painted this guy as being like obviously an unhinged predator. He's a heel. And she's going to beat him.
Yeah.
And like, that's how this plays out. And then that's going to make it all okay. Like, she triumphs.
She had like one of the local like cheerleading squads, like cheering like girl power. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I was like, that's where I thought it was going. I was like, this is a very empowered moment. Like, she's going to overcome and win the match.
But then she starts fucking spanking him.
Yeah.
That's like, she was like, now it's my turn. And so that was an extended move. It's just him bent over her knee while she smacked his ass. And I was like, okay, I mean, yeah, give him a taste of his own medicine, I suppose. And then she fucking loses the match.
She loses the match. And here's how he pins her.
Yeah, this is what we've been working up towards.
He basically pins her down. He's got her legs up in the air and he's like thrusting. He's dry humping her. For three counts, match over. But that's how he pinned her, was by dry humping the shit out of her.
And what did he yell?
No, just wait. That was the second time that they
Okay.
So then...
Don't blow your load
don't,
yet.
Don't blow your load yet, because it gets worse.
And if I just want to...
That was bad.
I want to give a mid-conversation preface. We don't condone any of this.
No.
It was not okay. We are not here talking about it because, like, we're going to sign on to Can-Am. We were, like, aghast.
But we were in disbelief when we left. We all were like, we need to go. We went to Boston Pizza. We're like, we need to go and unpack this and like talk about what we all just witnessed. And I think for a while we kind of just sat in silence.
There was some trauma there.
I was like, what the fuck?
What did we just happen? Watch? What did the HTA fucking Knights team do on their wind up party?
And so then the last match happens and it's like the Cheetah Bear. This is the headliner. It's everybody's coming out. It's like a Royal Rumble every 3 minutes.
You're right. Man, you remember this well. It's just seared into your brain.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget.
I'll never forget this.
But so every 3 minutes, another competitor is coming out. So they come out again. Like, he comes out with his music. She comes out with the indigenous music a few minutes later. And they have this showdown in the ring again. Everybody's kind of off having their own wrestling match. They have this showdown. You're like, okay, she's going to get her revenge on him, but he gets the upper hand and he grabs like her hair or something. He's about to do the final slam and then he yells. And again, I want to preface that this is not okay.
Yeah. Full trigger warning.
Yeah. Full trigger warning. But again, she was in on this. She would have had to be in on the joke, but we'll unpack that a little bit later.
You fucking hope so.
You hope so. He yells, I'm going to send you back to the residential school. Slams her, pins her, and then immediately announce the matriarch has been eliminated.
The matriarchy has ended, is we what he like, said.
I remember looking over at Sean, and I was like, what the fuck? This and is it, insane.
It was just sidebar. That was like it while the other match was going on.
Yeah, like that was just a, like, and so you could have also missed that if you're watching like one of the other fights going on between the other competitors. And so I was like, what the hell is this? And so, like, I get it. She is indigenous. She had, like, a couple spectators with her that were indigenous. 98% of that crowd was white.
And we're not talking, we're talking extra white. Like, as white, you know. Like,
me white.
Yeah.
Me white.
So white.
And so I was kind of
amateur wrestling white, I believe they call it.
Even if she is in on it. But I was like, you know what? She seemed relatively young, like maybe our age or younger, right? And so I was like, she's in on this joke. She's given the okay for him to make that joke, right? He's playing the heel or whatever. Like, she said, yeah, this part of our rehearsal, that's fine with me. I'm down with all of this. But I was also like, is she in the position to be like making that call for like First Nations people to be like, yeah, that residential school joke is going to be hilarious, right? Like, is she the arbiter of like what's okay? Like, if we got one of the elders from the Blackfoot Confederacy to come watch that match, who has been through like the horrors of the residential school system.
Yeah.
Would they be like, oh, it's okay because it's like an indigenous wrestler, so it's all fine. No, I think they'd be like, that's horrifying. Like, you have no idea what the fuck that's about, right? And not to, I don't know her background or her history or her family history. She probably has family history that's gone through that, right? But I'm like, man, to be like, I'm going to be the one that stands up and says, this is okay. Like, I was like, I don't think that's...
she doesn't speak for all of us.
So what do you think about it?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that, and we've been careful to state our position that it was not okay. especially in that venue, who you were performing for. And I think that has to be a conversation from the wrestling organization standpoint, is like, there has to be a line somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think any of those coaches at HTA are coming back next year. You have to understand, like, in schools nowadays, you know, not only do you begin most lessons or your homeroom announcements with land acknowledgements, but a lot of our PD is based around Indigenous perspectives and trying to bring land-based learning into everything that we're doing to essentially, you know, kind of change the that colonial aspect of our history in our education, you know, and or make efforts to engage in the process of truth and reconciliation. It's a real thing. And one of the biggest challenges with truth and reconciliation is that it's undefinable. You know, there is no right answer. It's an ongoing process and it takes time. And
it could also be defined by different Indigenous people about what that means. Like, to some, it might mean reparations.
Yep.
And to some, it might mean, you know, we need to revamp our education system. And to some, it might mean, you know, obviously we've got Truth and Reconciliation Day now. And, like, you know, it could mean there's a whole spectrum of what that looks like.
And the matriarch single-handedly sent that effort back 10 years with one wrestling match.
And I want to clarify why I'm laughing is because it was so insane to watch. And it was also so uncomfortable. And it's one of those moments where it's, something is so uncomfortable that you, like, you almost laugh as like a defense mechanism, because you don't, you're so like awkward about it and you don't know. And even as we're rehashing this, I've been thinking about it for two whole fucking days.
This has been a therapy session. We had to like get this out and talk about this.
And I told my wife, I was like, I need to tell you what I witnessed last night. Like,
we
some shit happened.
We at the start of the matches, we were talking about how this is actually finally a tangible avenue, a potential opportunity that we could pursue and actually sponsor something. You know, because we're pretty small potatoes. We don't have a lot of listeners. We're working on all that, but you could go to Can-Am Wrestling. This is, again, prior to the show. We're like, could you imagine coming in here and it's like brought to you by the Rad Dads? We're like, oh fuck. And we get to wrestle for a match. Like, we were all over it.
Or we get to be like guest referees or something.
100%. Like, this is a real thing. We could do this. At the end, we're like, we are setting up a support group. Like, survivors of Can-Am Wrestling, like, come and share your story. Again, I can't like, you were right to focus on like how insane that match was. I can't reiterate enough how insane it was to have like a child's football team and basketball team. Like, that was their event.
That was their wind-up event.
That was their wind-up. There are some conversations to be had at the parent council meeting. Okay. Like, that was so fucked up.
It's the Catholic division though.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Go check out Can-Am Wrestling when they come to town and experience what we experienced.
And so, like, here's the thing, is like, I'm so torn by that, because it was actually like a pretty entertaining show.
Are you not entertained? That issue, they got thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was entertained.
I was.
But at the end, I was definitely like walking away. And I told my wife, and she almost looked at me like she didn't believe me. She was like, how much weed did you smoke last night?
Yeah.
It's like trying to tell somebody you got abducted by aliens and they probed you. And they're just looking at you like, okay, buddy.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well,
it did happen.
It did happen. And the Elks Hall, what a beautiful venue.
I love the, when we were talking about that, I don't think I've been in there since like high school, going to see like local shows.
Everything about it was a time travel. We went to go buy drinks. We got four drinks and the girl was like, hey, that'll be $17. And yeah. I was like, no, I have four drinks. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Good place to go drink. At the Elks Hall.
At a million vodkas. I started stacking them under your guys' chairs because I didn't want them
underneath
my chair.
I think that's why I remember the event a little better. Oh, 100%. My last drink of the night was a Coke Zero.
Yeah. Well, to my dismay, I was stoked when we got to BP's and they had fish bowls. And I thought no one was doing it. I was like, oh, Drew's on a solo mission. And then Dunny ordered one. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And so I got one and just cooked it. And I was like, let's get another. And Dan's like, oh, no, like, absolutely not. And then, we had a nice meal and got home. And I was still kind of fired up, being like, oh, I'm gonna like, go watch Rob Van Dam. Like, I'm going to watch Triple H to Generation X. I'm going to get YouTube. I made it, like, 2 minutes. And I was in my bed with the spins. And I was like, oi, oi, oi. daddy's gonna have a rough wake up tomorrow.
and the kids woke you up early.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That's been they know. The old hand, foot, and mouth.
I got home, and so I did not have the spins. I took it relatively easy, but I was like, I need to watch that South Park episode. And then so I watched that, which led into watching four more South Park episodes.
Is that on Crave? Is that a...
I don't know. I just pirate everything.
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah.
Probably is on Crave.
I think so. Yeah. That's
And then I had to watch the wrestling episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Another one I haven't seen.
Yeah, with the trash man. And then, okay, so Scotty, the referee that we all loved, like he was the best part of the show because he had one move and that was just like utter shock at whatever was happening.
Oh, no, Scotty, no.
Hands to the side of his head like, can you believe what's happening? It's like, yes, dying. Scotty, we all can believe it.
I actually probably missed most of the racially insensitive wrestling match because Sean and I, we just had our phones out just filming Scotty. He was the show for us.
He looks like Cricket from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, who participates in that wrestling episode.
Okay.
Scotty reminded me of Cricket.
There was a lot of like, that guy looks like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who also attends these wrestling matches in large numbers? And I'm shooting in the dark here because I didn't ask them. But as we were sitting there waiting for people to file in, the amount of dudes that came in that looked like former amateur wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like I think a large number of their attendees are people who probably like used to do it.
Well, I mean, there's a storied history of wrestling in Calgary.
There were so many 6'6", like we were on one and I was on one having a fun time. But even as loosey goosey as I was getting, I was like, I'm not saying shit. Like this is not the place.
No.
There are some guys in here that will absolutely bend me into a pretzel. I was like waiting to see what cheers we were allowed to get away with. And apparently it was anything.
there's no holds barred.
Yeah. But a lot of guys coming in there, they're like, man, are you gonna get in the match? Like you are an absolute unit.
Even the guy that hosted the show, like he was obviously a big boy. He'd been eaten good.
Oh dude, his BMI is 90.
Yeah. He'd been eating good for a while, but you could tell underneath that he used to be a unit. Like he used to absolutely just slam some dudes around.
He was definitely the cliche. Like I used to
wrestle and you know, I threw out a disc and now I eat burgers, but
yeah. Maybe that'll be one of their events. Maybe he's going to come out in Jorge Cuervo.
I here's the thing. Following Can-Am needs to be a documentary. Like I as much as I'm like, what we witnessed was not okay.
Well, here's a perfect time to drop this because you know, if you're listening and you're like, I have questions or I need to understand what these dudes are talking about. Can-Am Wrestling films all of their matches and posts them to YouTube.
And on TELUS Optik.
Okay.
Is what they said.
Yeah. Not for much longer.
TELUS is leaning pretty hard into that truth and reconciliation. I don't think they're going to want the matriarch getting sexually assaulted.
I think their QC's probably skipped a few episodes if that's still airing on there. But if you want to go and just scrub to All Night versus the Matriarch, Can-Am Okotoks live at the Elks, you will see this and you will hear this. It's there. It's real. And you'll probably hear, you'll hear me in the crowd for sure. I had some good yells, appropriate yells.
Yeah. Yeah. You kept yelling at Scotty. Well, and like people were starting Scotty chants. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. He was the star of the show.
If we do ever go back, we all need to wear like wrestling referee shirts.
So this was your first time.
Yeah.
You know, you were a amateur wrestling virgin. I think this is my third or fourth event. And the first one I ever went to, we did dress up. And we had just, you know, because it was hilarious at the time, Zilla had all his Hulkamania shit. And Tom and I were wearing, you know, American flag garb. And Benny was like the denim kid. But we kind of had like a wrestling theme, an American theme going on. And when we showed up, one of the wrestlers, that was his whole shtick. Like he was up in Canada to show American strength. And so when he walked out from the bathroom of the Boys and Girls Club Lethbridge, and we were already goosed. We stood up and just started like, USA, USA. And this guy, because you saw it now, like he was all over us. He was like, yeah. And we got so fired up. And actually at the end of that event, there was nothing quite as crazy as we saw in Okotoks. It was a much, much tamer event, probably a little more amateur. I can't remember what the outfit was, but we were so fired up that when everyone left, we stuck around And we stuck around for one thing and one thing only. We wanted to get in the ring. Like, we were ready. We had watched enough. We had watched one whole amateur wrestling event, and we knew we had what it takes to get in there and shine. And so we wait around. It kind of clears out, and one of the dudes, one of the wrestlers, comes out, and we're chatting with him. And apologetically, in hindsight, we were kind of like, you know, pumping his tires, but we just wanted one thing. We're like, oh, you know, this is so cool. You guys do such a good job. Like, when's your next event? And he was so excited to share with us and tell us all about it. And we're like, yeah, cool. Can we get in the ring? And he had a pause. He stopped. He's like, And I can't remember how we convinced him. It probably was just Tom being like, yeah, come on, Smokey. Like, let's go. And he was like, you know what? Sure, hop in there. So we get in the ring, and it's one Mississippi before the match starts. Like, you know, like, there's sharpshooters. Tom immediately like picks up Ben and starts chucking him around. And we are like, we're doing the like after show in the ring, and it's hilarious. And I don't know if you've ever been in a ring, but like, yeah, they're bouncy. They're fun. Like, I want to rent one for my 35th birthday. Like, it's fucking hilarious. This is where it gets a little like dark side of the ring. The promoter, who is also a wrestler, comes into the gymnasium while we're all in the ring, under the supervision of one of these guys, and he is livid. He is furious. It's his ring. He owns it. And apparently, in wrestling code, you do not get in the ring. That's like step one, don't get in the ring. You know, the other rule, like, it's like Fight Club. Like, just fucking, you don't do it. But what you really don't do is get in the ring and start taking bumps. And I quote, not cocaine. Like, start actually like doing like the moves and like pretending to get hurt and stuff like that. Apparently that is like so offensive and such a taboo thing to do. And so this guy walks in, and we were like, we're getting the last ride ready. You know, Zilla's got me in a fucking, he's giving me a stone cold stunner with like the fake leg kicks. And this guy, he's huge. He's one of these guys. He's one of these like 6'6" massive people. He comes up and he grabs the bottom rope with two hands, and his face is just turning purple. And he's shaking, and he's like almost like a fucking promo with Macho Man. He's like, who let you in the ring? Get over here right now. Like, I swear to fucking God. And we're like, oh, like, I think this was a mistake. I think we've done something wrong here. We're not supposed to be in the ring. And the lady who was running the door kind of rushed over to us, and they had a quick conversation. The big angry guy. And he left for a minute, and she turns to us, still with the first guy who let us in the ring, and she's like, you need to leave. And we're like, oh, did we make him mad? Like, we're sorry. She's like, no, I'm telling you, like, get out now. And so we turn to the other guy, like, is this real? And he's like, yo, yeah, I think I'm in big trouble too. Like, you guys gotta scram. And so obviously we like hit the parking lot and continued our match there. But it's like it's a very serious, they take it very seriously.
Which is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Because it's like, you guys are basically putting on a play. I can see it from like maybe a liability standpoint. Like, if one of you guys like broke somebody's neck in his ring at the venue he's rented out, like, he's got a big like insurance payout coming.
Yeah, but, like, that wasn't the vibe I got. It wasn't like maybe it was a safety issue. I think it was like honor. Like, yeah, we disrespected his match.
Just silly. You're putting on a play.
And putting on a play for free. That's, I kept asking that when we're at Can-Am. I'm trying to count people. I'm like, okay, we got 92 people. We all paid $20. You know, this was expensive to bring this mat here. You had to buy at least two frequency trigger lights from Spencer's. you know, there's a couple lights you have. I'm like, these guys are not getting paid. They are not getting paid.
My guess was they're getting $100.
You think they got actual money for doing that?
I think so. Why else would you do? I guess if you love wrestling, one thing I will give to the wrestling culture is people that love wrestling fucking love wrestling.
They love it.
Not like the brightest group of crayons. Like, when I was looking around that room, I was like, that's why this needs to be a documentary. Because I was like, if you're ever sitting there, you're like, man, like, I wonder how people can like this politician or believe this or like whatever, right? I'm like, you got to get in with those people. And that's a Can-Am wrestling match.
Yeah.
That's the crew.
100%.
Like,
it was an experience. I highly recommend it. I also got to say it one more time. Go on YouTube, check it out. Drop us an email at raddadredemptionpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. about the old...
the old matriarch.
Yeah. Or attend HTA's parent council meeting this Wednesday. It's going to pop off. There's a few questions that are going to get asked.
Some answers are needed. Hey, should we fire up this phone? Should
we test this? Let's do a gear test.
Should we test the phone?
Yeah.
All right, people, if this doesn't work, you can probably blame me.
But we got to get this stuff ready.
I mean, what better way to test it than right now on the show?
And we do have some guests planned that may end up being a phone-in thing, so it'd be good to know the technology works. All right, give her a go.
Okay, I'm going to unmute it, and I'm going to call our good friend, Brad.
The Huntington Beach boy. Okay. Deadbeat Brad. Get him on the horn.
Can you hear that?
I can hear it ringing.
Okay. I'm going to turn that up a bit. It's going to be really whack if he doesn't answer.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
I've got you here with my good friend, Drew.
Yeah. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Drew. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing real good.
It's really nice that we're testing our equipment. We wanted to call a good friend that we can trust.
Yeah, absolutely. How's it sounding so far?
It's sounding great.
Yeah.
You're coming through the headset.
This technology has really advanced.
It's funny.
Can't wait for the hard reset on your guys' show where you just start crank calling people.
we definitely already
talked about
that
earlier in the episode about how this is just going to turn into like crank callers, like calling Happy Valley Restaurant.
Welcome to Bad Dad's Crank Calls, where every week we call someone else. Try to be funny, but most likely offend someone, and the format shuts down shortly.
Yeah,
it can't get any worse. What are you up to right now?
I am in Winnipeg. Still, my flight has been delayed twice so far, and my brothers and I are mad dashing some stuff on Kijiji to see if we can make some money before it inevitably just probably goes to a landfill or to Goodwill. So
you got a full plate on you.
Absolutely, Tom.
Well, we want to ask you just a quick question. You know that we got this Rad Dad Combine coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. You've been following that. Are you up on that?
I haven't heard the most recent episode.
What, buddy? Buddy, it's a huge event.
You're a dedicated listener. It's huge.
We need you. So we got a couple events that Dex and I are going to be competing in, and we want your take. Who's going to win? Who's got the edge?
Okay. All right, I'm on it.
I'm gonna rip them off. You're gonna say who's winning and why. Okay.
Okay.
40-yard dash.
Oh, that's tough because instinctively I would say you, Drew, but then we played floor hockey a month ago, and you were pretty slow. So I'm gonna say. Dex, just because I don't know how slow he is.
Okay.
So, really, not necessarily who's going to win, but who's not going to lose.
Yeah, I like it. That's a great angle. Okay, yeah, appreciate that. Bench press, and now I do want to clarify, the NFL Combine is 225 pounds, most reps. And so we talked about that, and we thought it wouldn't be very exciting to kind of end up with a 0-0 tie.
we didn't think it'd be cool to crush our like chest cavities with a bar on our first attempt.
So we've reduced it. It is bench press 135, most reps. So plate aside, who's got it and why?
I would say I know Dex has been hitting the gym more and lifting weights more consistently, perhaps in the last month. But I do feel like you have a base level of strength, Drew, that would potentially get you through. So I think, and I have to say, Drew.
Okay.
I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1-1.
I don't know. I have Dex has never actually sent me a photo from the gym of him working out. He's only sent me a photo of him in the sauna.
That's what he does.
He's the only one who uses it. So.
No, he's got a sauna membership. He's never been in the gym.
Yeah, no, I actually just walked straight to the sauna at the back. It's funny because like when I am at the gym, I will send like Instagram like stories to the boys, and it's just always like me in the sauna by myself, and the caption's like waiting for some hot dudes to come in and jerk me off. Like, and I did go into the sauna the other day,
and there were some hot dudes.
There was two guys in there, and like the whole time I'm sitting there, and I was like, I wonder like. Do we jerk each other off?
What do they say?
I just kept thinking that. I was like, is that a thing that happens in saunas?
All right, next event. Who can jerk the other off faster?
oh, That might be a tie. I think you guys are so in sync lately.
Well, we don't know if we're gonna go Dutch rudder or if it's just straight hand. I think just like I'll grip him, he'll grip me.
I think if I close my eyes, I would finish faster.
I don't know who's gonna win, but I know it's gonna be beautiful.
Okay, so we're gonna call that a simultaneous orgasm. Okay, so that's a tie. We've got the standing 2 foot jump, no run, just two dudes versus gravity. Who's got it?
Well, if junior high is any indication, 20 something years ago, I think the standing high jump would have to be you, Drew.
We're basically basing all of this off of junior high. Yeah, so that is our logic.
That isn't the last time we did physical activity.
If your next event's been like, who could wear girl pants tighter? Then Dex has got it.
He's got it on lock. Kate, we also have, we don't know about this one. It's the broad jump. So just like run, like jumping for distance.
Wow, I feel bad. I feel like I want to throw a sympathy win in for Dex. But, well, Dex can run. No, but I already said you'd be fast. Yeah, it's going to have to go Drew. Going to have to go Drew again. You got jumping down, buddy.
All right. I'm edging Dex. And I'm also ahead in the standings. Here we go. And then the last one, we got a beep test. We got the beep test.
What is that?
You don't remember the beep test?
No. Oh, is that where we see how far we can stretch with a ruler?
No. Oh, no, there's no stretching. Zero stretching in this combine. Okay, the beep test, you know what? I guess that's a specialized one because if you haven't run it, if you're not familiar with it, but it's another, we'll call it endurance. You have 20 meters and you have to run from one side to the other before the beep goes, and then it gets progressively faster. And depending on when you exit the competition is your score on the beep test. So if you're like really bad, you know, you're going to do it for 4 minutes, and then like world record guys are doing the beep test for 13, 14 minutes.
Okay. And what, just out of curiosity, just to measure your guys' confidence, how long do you think either one of you is going to last? Dex, what's your number? And then Drew, what's yours?
I'll be impressed if I make it 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to go until Dex quits. I'm going to do the prices right. My goal is to wait until I see Dex like blue in the face, keeling over, and then I'm going to do one more.
Okay, well, I think Dex is going to be a trendsetter here. Again, I don't expect the quick sprints to be his specialty, but he's an endurance athlete for sure. So, I mean, all that golf he plays, that's gotta
be worth something.
He does.
Got to result in some sort of physical fitness. So
he does eat a lot of hot dogs on the course.
Yeah.
Well, fuck yeah. This has been great. Well, now that we got you on the horn, you know, tell us what you got going on. Give yourself a plug, Brad.
Yeah, I'm good. I got a late flight from Winnipeg, and then I got to work tomorrow. So not much else going on, pals.
Hey, buddy. We love you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, right on. Glad to hear your sound equipment and your ability to make phone calls will eventually corner most of us and our friends in interviews they don't want to be in. So.
Yeah.
All right. Love you guys.
Bye.
All right, see you, buddy.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Cool the phone works, though. And
it was cool.
Yeah, great interview. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up. We do there was one more thing. Just because we're not going to do it together, you're going down on a trip. Gutlessly, and not because I'm betting, but I want to know, what's your take on the Masters? Who's got a chance? What should we be looking out for? What are the storylines? Do the live guys fucking actually show up and win some shit? What's going on?
Maybe. So the Masters, always you want to, if you're betting or you're like trying to pick the winner, you want guys who have been there before. It's very much like a course that's like you have to have played it. I don't think a rookie has ever won the Masters. It's maybe happened once.
Okay.
So you want people who've played it before. It's hard to get a bet against Scottie Scheffler right now because he's playing so good. The LIV guys, though, it's going to be interesting because John Rahm just left to LIV, but he won the Masters last year. So this is going to be kind of his first time back since he left against all of the other highest competition. Has he been staying sharp or... I mean, he's a crazy good golfer. It was crazy when he left to go to LIV, but yeah. If you like put me on the spot, I feel like it's got to be Scotty.
Okay, and actually, you just brought up an interesting point. Has there been a lot of repeat winners? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely like, if you know that course and you know how to get around and you've won before, it's way easier than somebody who hasn't figured that out yet. I mean, it's very much like they talk in the PGA Tour or in golf in general right now about how these long hitters, they just overpower courses. That's why they're going to flight down the golf balls in a couple of years and stuff like that. So this is one of those courses that almost bucks that trend. Like, you can't overpower the course. You have to know where to put your shots.
Yeah, it's such a, what would you call it? A course that's been established for a long time. Like, they haven't built it in this new era of golf balls. Like, you have to be, like you said, experienced, and you can't just go out there and have the biggest dick swinging.
Yeah, like, you, there's courses you can go to that you got guys that are cutting corners on par fours that were never intended to be cut because they can just hit it that far and they're going for the green on par fours. You can't do that at the Masters. There's like one or two holes you can maybe do that on, but the rest of them is like, you got to know exactly where you need to put your ball for your second shot. You need to be thinking ahead. It's not like just put it as far as you can up there and then, you know, scramble for your birdie or your par.
Okay, next question. Who's the sleeper hit? Someone to watch.
I want to say maybe one of the Canadians that's been there a few times and has like had some decent finishes, but never really made it like in the top five or anything. So, you know, maybe like Nick Taylor and Mackenzie Hughes, somebody like that, some Canadian content. That'd be cool to see one of them, you know, on the leaderboard on the last day. And like Mackenzie Hughes playing good this weekend. Nick Taylor played good last weekend. He already won a tournament this year. So yeah, some good Canadian content.
And does Tiger show up? Is that a thing? Is he coming? Is he?
I don't know, because he showed up for that one event, the Genesis, and then he had to withdraw because of his back problems. And so it's like, okay, I mean, anytime he shows up, it's a huge storyline. And I think that kind of is his vibe moving forward. You're not going to see him at every event. You're going to see him at the majors and like maybe a sprinkling of other big tournaments. So yeah, it'll be interesting. If his body's up for it, I'm sure he'll go, because I think that's kind of all he's playing for now is his legacy and winning some big tournaments like the Masters. I don't think he gives a shit about any of the other tournaments. The only reason he was at the Genesis is because that's like his big sponsor now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to miss you. I'll have to watch it. I'll end up watching on Sunday, texting you, blowing your phone up.
Yeah, I'll be down in Scottsdale, and all the other guys from the trip, the bachelor party trip, will have, you know, they'll be on the plane by then. So there's just a handful of us that are staying for a few extra days. So I think I can probably convince them, like, hey, we got to go to the DraftKings sportsbook in TPC Scottsdale.
Yeah, fucking speaking of which, we got some scratch tickets to haul off on and win a bit of money.
Yeah.
Dude, great episode, fun episode. Look forward to... We got a busy schedule. So we got the combine coming up at the end of the month, and then we also have a couple booked in guests.
Yeah,
like we are really doing it. No more blue balling. Today was just a bit of a gear test, but expect us to speak with Kelsey from F45 and actually have some real tangible information about training
instead of just listening to us talk about fitness, which is like
just fucking guessing.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm not losing weight. It's like you're eating too much.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get the answers. We're gonna get the hard facts as to why we're so fucking fat. We also have our debate special coming up, and we are still in the process of securing a moderator. If you have any sort of interest or you thought of a excellent debate topic, thank you for those of you who've actually sent those out. There's some hilarious ones.
Yeah.
There's some real like matriarch versus all night ones that we are absolutely not going to do on the show. So thanks for those too. But if you have any great ideas, please send us an email, drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And then of course the motherfucking combine coming your way. I should clarify, if you're expecting the episode on the day of the combine, it's not going to be released. We're essentially running the events and then coming back here post, hopefully filled with glory and a ton of funny ideas to do the post show. So that'll actually be a couple weeks, maybe a week or two after the actual event.
Yeah.
So make sure you check that out.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.